Greetings, friends. Welcome back to part two in our series about the Feast of Tabernacles. In today's program, I want to talk to you about the second clue that gives us an understanding of the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles. So what is the second clue? The second clue is that the Feast of Tabernacles occurs in the seventh month. Now, what is the lesson that we should learn from the fact that the Feast of Tabernacles is in the seventh month? Let's turn over to Exodus, the 23rd chapter, and we'll start reading in verses 14 through 16. This is Exodus chapter 23, and it's verses 14 through 16. The second clue is that the Feast of Tabernacles is in the seventh month of the year. And what is the lesson that we are to learn from the Feast of Tabernacles being in the seventh month of the year? It says in Exodus 23, verses 14 and 16, "You shall keep a feast unto me 3 seasons in the year. The Feast of Unleavened Bread in the beginning of the year," that's the first season, "the Feast of First Fruits," or Pentecost, "in the middle of the year," that's the second season, "and then the Feast of Ingathering," which is in the end of the year. That's the third season. So you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the first season, the Feast of Pentecost in the middle of the year, which is the second season, and then the Feast of Ingathering, which is in the end of the year, in the third season. So the fact that the Feast of Tabernacles is in the seventh month, and the seventh month is called the end of the year, teaches us that the seventh month is the culmination of God's seven-step plan of salvation. And notice how this agricultural terminology is used in connection with salvation. We can see this in James chapter 5 and verse 7. This is in the book of James chapter 5 and verse 7. James says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." So he's talking about the coming of the Lord, when salvation will come to all of the first fruits, which is again pictured by the Feast of Pentecost. This is the church age, the Feast of Pentecost, when the church is growing to full maturity. So it says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman," so we see this agricultural terminology, "the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth." This is Jesus Christ, who is the husbandman pictured here. "And he has long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain." Jesus Christ, as a husbandman, understands that when you plant food, you have the early rain, which is in the beginning of the year, and then you also have the latter rain, which is toward the end of the year. And this seventh month is considered the end of the agricultural year. It is not the end of the calendar year. There are at least 5 more months in the calendar year, but it is the end of the agricultural year. That's why it says that the Feast of Ingathering is in the end of the year. So again, the lesson we learn is that the seventh month pictures the culmination of God's seven-step plan of salvation. And this seventh month is preceded by the latter rain, whereas the first feast, which is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's preceded by the early rain, and that's in the first season of the year. Okay, so you got that part. Now let's move on to the next part. These 7 feast days, all of the 7 feast days together, teach us about planting seeds, watching them grow into mature plants that bear fruit, and then harvesting of the fruit for the nourishment and life of the people. That's the natural cycle of agriculture, right? You plant seeds, you water them, you watch them grow as the sun shines on them until they mature into plants that bear fruit, and then you harvest the fruit, and you harvest that fruit so that you can have nourishment. It feeds your life. Well, of course, the planting of seeds, in this case, are the words of God. This is represented by the Passover and the wave sheaf offering during the days of unleavened bread. This early and smaller harvest of the mature fruit-bearing plants occurred then on Pentecost. So you had the early rains during the Passover and wave sheaf offering, and then you had the early and smaller harvest of the mature fruit-bearing plants occurring during this middle season on Pentecost. And then you have the latter and much larger harvest of the mature fruit-bearing plants that occurred during the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. And again, this latter and much larger harvest is preceded by the latter rains. Now remember that food was grown for the purpose of giving life to the nation of Israel. So this whole planting and harvesting cycle is obviously picturing God sowing the seed of His Word into the ground of our hearts and minds. And we are expected to grow in the grace and knowledge of God until we grow up into the full measure and stature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to produce more fruit. And as we are producing this abundant fruit through the power of the Holy Spirit, then the world can have life and have it more abundantly as it partakes of our fruit that God gives us through the power of His Holy Spirit. So in covering what we just covered, you should see three themes emerging. First, God is the gardener. Second, the Word of God is the seed and we are the ground. And then the third theme you should see emerging is that God sows abundantly and God expects to reap abundantly. And let's go to the scripture to see all of these three themes affirmed. In John chapter 15 and verse 1, we have this first theme emerging and being reaffirmed, that God is the gardener. This is in John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, says Jesus, and my Father is the husbandman. In this case, the Father is the husbandman. He's the one that's taking care of the garden. Now dropping down to verse 4 and verse 5. Jesus continues by saying, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you bear fruit, except you abide in me, as I am the vine. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So we see here that the Father is the husbandman. God is the gardener. That's the first theme. We said the second theme that is reaffirmed here is that the Word of God is the seed and we are the ground. Now we can turn to a very famous parable. It's the parable of the sower of the seed. And we can turn to Matthew chapter 13 and we'll start off by reading in verse 18. And we'll read a couple of verses. This is Matthew 13, starting off in verse 18. And it says, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, that's the seed, the word of God. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. Again, this second theme is that the word of God is the seed, and we are the ground. Our hearts and minds receive this seed. So it says that the first one hears the word of the kingdom, but doesn't understand it, and the wicked one comes and snatches away that seed which was sown in his heart. And this seed is the word of the kingdom. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But the second example, he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word of God, and with joy receives it, yet he has no root in himself, so he endures only for a little while. When persecution arises because of the word, he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns, this is the third one, is he that hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So he bore a little bit of fruit, but the fruit just died out. But, now this is the fourth and the good example, the example that all of us should aspire to. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it and goes on to bear fruit. So the first principle we saw was that God is the gardener. As we said, he's the Father, and the Father is the husbandman. Christ is the vine. Everybody who's connected to the vine bears fruit. The second point we saw is that the Word of God is the seed, and we are the ground. Our hearts and minds receive this Word of God. We come to love it. We come to live by it and grow thereby so that we can produce fruit. And that was found in the parable of the sower. Now we have the third theme that we see reaffirmed here, and that is that God sows abundantly and expects to reap abundantly. We can see this reaffirmed in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 6 through 11. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 6 through 11. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Every man will reap according as he purposes in his heart, and that's the way he should give. And he shouldn't give grudgingly, not of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. God wants us to cheerfully sow abundantly. And it only makes sense if we want to reap abundantly. If you plant one seed in the ground, what do you expect to get but one plant? If you plant 100 seeds in the ground, then you can expect to receive perhaps 100 plants. Well, it makes sense. So God is like that. And it says, God is able to make all grace abound. All grace abound toward you, that you always, having sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God wants you to abound. We should be enriched in everything to all bountifulness. How many times does God have to say this? And this bountifulness causes through us thanksgiving to God. As it is written, he, God, as the gardener, has dispersed abroad. He has dispersed bountifully, and he has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Now he that gives seed to the sower will multiply. He's going to make it bountiful. He's going to multiply your seed sown. And he's going to increase. He's going to make it bountiful. He will increase the fruits of your righteousness. God wants to get across this point that he sows bountifully and expects to reap bountifully. So those are the three themes that we saw emerging and reaffirmed in these three passages of Scripture. And so in summary, we can see that just like a farmer sows seeds abundantly and hopefully in fertile ground because he's prepared the ground, he's tilled it up, he has put mulch into it and composted it. So just like the farmer sows the seed abundantly in fertile ground and expects to reap fruit abundantly, so does God expect an abundant harvest of souls. God wants for all people to be saved. Right now, many are called, but few are chosen. That's because right now we're in the Pentecost planting and harvesting stage. This is the early and smaller harvesting period. You remember we said that there are three seasons when God wants us to meet with him. The first season was during Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. The middle season was Pentecost. And this is when you had the growth, but it's the smaller growth. It's the early growth. So when it says many are called but few are chosen, that's because right now we're in the Pentecost planting and harvesting stage. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures the latter and larger harvesting season. This is in the seventh month, the culmination of the year. That's when all will be called and most will be chosen. Yes, my friends, God sows abundantly, and God will reap abundantly. God is the greatest gardener, and he is going to reap abundantly in this seventh month.